M16, number 4A.
We go on to category 5, and we see here what spirit does in the realm of its suppositional opposite, and we get typical characteristics of spirit here that have to do with the concept that there is an opposite. For instance, we can see that spirit acts here as allowing no mingling. Typically here, see, it's on the level of Christian Science, namely the question of opposites. Spirit is that which says, I allow no mingling. Because spirit comes to the opposite as a line of demarcation, as a line that separates good from evil, that separates opposites. So you have afterwards spirit separates, or even goes further and excludes the opposite. I think it's very clear here, this tone about spirit. And so spirit acts as the leaven of spirit, as the alchemy of spirit, the leaven of spirit, because it has to leaven everything that is not in line with spirit, and leaven it, and leaven it, and leaven it, until everything is in line with spirit. So it's also the alchemy of spirit that takes everything and transforms it and changes it until it is of a new nature. We always had the spirit leads the warfare, because warfare means that there is a suppositional opposite. So spirit is that which leads that warfare. It's not we that should war with something, but we have to war with people, nor war with error. We should let spirit lead the warfare. How do we do that? How do we let spirit lead the warfare and handle its opposite? By going to the higher levels. The power of spirit and of demonstration always lies therein that we go and fill our consciousness with category 1, 2, and 3 and let that operate. So we see here that spirit acts on the opposite as warfare. That warfare can temporarily show itself forth as chemicalization. So it's always spirit that brings forth a chemicalization. It isn't animal magnetism that brings forth chemicalization. It's always spirit when it touches its opposite and finds the resistance of the opposite. Then this shows itself forth as a crisis. And so the final effect here is that spirit purifies. So it isn't the purity of spirit. It is purifying. It's a process of, separating what does not belong to the true, of ousting out all that is foreign to the spiritual nature. All that happens with a purifying process. So when we just go right down in this column, you can see that it is the spirit here is really represented as that oneness that can deal with the sense of duality. And just turn over and turn over, and in that process we can see first that it does not allow any mingling, therefore it draws a line of demarcation against the opposite, begins to separate it from the opposite and exclude the opposite. In this way it leavens the whole situation. It leads, therefore, the warfare leads really the strategy of getting rid of an opposite, temporally it may show itself forth as chemicalization and crisis, but the final effect of it is that it purifies the situation. Isn't that a nice flow? It stays constantly in the same category. Then we can go to category 6 again, is that humanistic sense, the humane sense of the divine, which says, well, the divine and the human meet. The divine embraces the human, but also the human embraces the divine. At this point, it is the human embracing the divine, because we see here that there are beautiful human qualities that are all directed towards the divine. So at the point 6, so to say, we had a kind of a feedback direction that goes now back to the to category 1, 2, and 3. What do we experience when this purification in category 5 has taken place? Then a purified situation is established. How does that look like? It looks like that then we have only but one God in our heart. So to have but one God is actually our human attitude. Actually, we went out in the category 1 that there is only spirit, but spirit is the only God. But translated to the human, it is the demand and the longing within us to say, let's only have one God as the only God. So it's that wonderful turning to God, first in mind, we turn to God with our mind, and then we entertain but one God, that's the spirit. It demands then in that attitude an uncompromising attitude, see, because it does no more allow any mixture, any confusion, any mingling of opposite standpoints. Therefore, it demands some kind of the strength of spirit, which we have got in column 4, and with that strength of spirit, something within us is established and is raised up, which says, all right, with that strength of spirit, I just cling alone to the spiritual. We are uncompromising in our attitude. We not only are uncompromising, but by going back to spirit, we trust in spirit. So in spirit we have the great trust, because spirit is a substance, that on which we stand, the sub-standing. And so we have that quality of spirit that says trust in the spirit. It is also, because it is free from a dualistic sense, we have the sense of discernment, because discern means to be able to separate, to distinguish. So it is the quality of spirit again here. It is turning to spirit. It is turning away from matter. Actually, this is the main point, turning away from matter and turning to spirit. I think these two really should be put together in writing. They are really the same thing. Turning away from matter and turning to spirit is the separation process that we undertake. It's an attitude. It's typically also that attitude of a second subject in Atonement and Eucharist, that we are able to turn away from the wrong and turn completely to the right. You see what we would gain if we would have those chapters in the textbook present in our consciousness, that we just know What is the first prayer, the second prayer, the third, fourth, fifth, and sixth, and seventh prayer? We would have that whole chapter on prayer in our consciousness present just on the fingertips, and we would have all those seven stages in atonement and Eucharist right here in the fingertips. They are naturally not very difficult if we can reason logically. Once we know what the seven prayers are, we also know what the seven steps in atonement and Eucharist are, because they are dealing with the very opposite of the attitude of prayer, that's atonement. And we would know exactly what is in marriage, because we would know that marriage is always showing what kind of a higher attitude we have won through prayer and atonement and Eucharist. It's as simple as that. You have 70 pages of the textbook right into your fingertips if you think in categories. My old war cry. My old war cry. Think in categories. You see? So, quite apart, say, you can read those 70 pages for 50 years. You can read them. You don't know what is in it. You will remember and memorize a few statements. All upside down, all mingled up, and so on. It would have no category in it. Until we can read the text through the tonality of the categories, which means interpret the text through the tonality of the categories, and for heaven's sake, not interpret and read the text with inspiration, with personal inspiration. Just makes you irk. Oh, what do you say? Itch? Huh? Jerk. What does it do? Itch. Well, what else? Huh? It's horrible. It's horrible. So, many people get something from individual inspiration, but they don't get the science. You get only the science if you read it scientifically, and reading scientifically means to read it as the system of science, which means to read it through the category of science, and then the textbook opens up. So we can always have those chapters just right on our fingertips. Not only those three, naturally, but all the rest of them. It's just here that in this column, naturally, those three first chapters play an important part. Because they are all, those first three chapters are all showing really the attitude of the students in regard to God. Yes, so Spirit does further what? It raises within us that second beatitude, blessed are those that mourn. That mourn, what does it mean, mourn? That are willing to leave behind the cherished things that are not real, and are willing to lay them down, to separate themselves from them, and to go on a new adventure, on the adventure of spirit, which gives us quite a different outlook. So blessed are those that mourn. In order to really turn away from matter and turn towards spirit, it needs a sense of striving, because you have somehow to lead that warfare. Now you lead the warfare. Before, we had that spirit leads the warfare in category 5. What kind of attitude does that raise within us? That we also reflect that warfare that is shown by striving. What is striving? In striving, we constantly have to somehow put off the opposite tendency, the opposite temptation. You have to put up a good fight, so to say. Like Paul said, let's have a good fight, and I had faith. So it is striving. You see that it says in mind, it is not enough to desire, and in spirit it is necessary to strive, to enter in. Just by desiring, we will not enter. We because we have not through atonement and Eucharist really got rid of the opposite, but through striving, that's the tonality of atonement and Eucharist, we really can enter. Another attitude which we always had right from the beginning, without that we really could prove it through the text at the beginning, was that Spirit demands worship. The worship of Spirit, the adoration of Spirit. Well, what is worship? Worship is really, you see, to direct one thought to the adorable one, which we had in category one. It is, worship means really to concentrate and focus everything on the spiritual, that spiritual worship. It is really showing the value and the worth that we have for the spiritual. That's the worship, and you can see it is mobilizing all the good substance within us, the good qualities within us. In spirit, we... In spirit, we always put first things first. Absolutely simple rule, completely simple rule, which we never observe. That is the attitude of spirit that says, whatever you do, weigh in your consciousness what is more important, and do that which is more important. Put first things first. That's the separation that we make, that we have to decide on. Where lies your heart? Where lies your desire? Where lies your value? What do you really worship? What do you really want to attain? Where is actually your values? It is constantly weighing what is higher, what is lower, what is of more value, what is of smaller value. Therefore, one's life always will show forth a progress, the progress of spirit, if we stick to that rule of putting first things first. So I always felt I want to do that which nobody can do, because that's the first thing that can be done. When I saw that I was a very successful businessman and was making a lot of money already within my first 2 years and was becoming a director of 3 companies in one go, I felt that's the end of it. If that is so easy and everybody can do it, then I'm going to do something which nobody can do. And I quit. I put first things first. I saw everybody can, many people can do. I saw that many people can become millionaires and successful managers and can make a lot of money. That's not the big deal. I could see that within the first 2 years I was in private business, I could do it too. So I quit. Yeah. Putting first in that spirit. Somehow in one's life one has to constantly value what is substance, what is not substance. What is important, what is not important. What is of value, what is not of value. What is of immediate necessity, what is not really of immediate necessity. All this is constantly the faculty of spirit at the point of the human. It shows really that we should not only put first things first, but that we really have spiritual affection. That we put spirit and not something else in its first place, and that means that the thing that is needed are spiritual qualities, spiritual affection, spiritual love, spiritual gratitude, all that which the second prayer is showing us in the chapter on prayer. It is also pointed out through the symbol of baptism, a biblical symbol, actually meaning nothing else but what we have been considering, namely to devote and adore and worship only the spiritual. Baptism means that we submerge totally in spirit, so that anyway, in a real baptism, you are submerged, you are not only sprinkled with 2 drops of water, means that everything around you, everything that constitutes you, is submerged in the one nature, in the spiritual nature, which is nothing else but the spiritualization of thought, energy, and desires, as you have it in prayer. It is a sense of gratitude. Second prayer again. It's a second prayer is a prayer of gratitude. If you are ungrateful for life, truth, and love, you are insincere and incur the sharp censure that the Master pronounced on hypocrites. God. We are always hypocrites when we don't have that gratitude for God. If we are grateful that we earn a lot of money, we are not grateful. We are hypocrites, she says. Only if we are grateful for life, truth, and love, for the spiritual facts that are, we are really grateful, we are really sincere. All the rest is just material mindedness and egotistic mindedness. What do I get out of it? How does it concern my life? How does it improve my human life? This is not turning to spirit. This is turning to a material center, and so we have to be really careful where our affections lie. We even have here always the sense of patience. I remember way back before the war when we did the synonyms, somehow without that we were able to prove from the text that patience had to do with spirit, we still always felt that the quality of spirit. Actually, you can see it now very easily that it is a quality of spirit and not of mind and not of soul or anything else, because patience means what? Patience actually means that we are willing to take one step after the other in an ordered way, that we are not jumping the order and try to do what comes last instead of trying to do what comes next. And to let the next step be made and unfold is called patience. So behind patience lies nothing else but spiritual order. So having patience in the spiritual is actually a sign that we are willing to be led by in the order of development. So these are very fine qualities. If you run over this category, you can see they all have to do actually with that attitude in the human which is separating, which makes the decision of separating, separates oneself from the wrong, and then concentrate and focus and very concentratedly on the spiritual. If we take the last column, where we ask ourselves, how does spirit appear when it is not understood? Well, we have in the first column that God is good, and if good is not understood, it appears as evil. So again, evil is actually good or spirit, when spirit is not understood. And so it is with everything that is negative, because spirit is positive. Therefore, everything which we call negative is actually something very positive when we have not recognized the positive. The onlyness of spirit in the first column is actually the answer for the question of dualism or opposites or antitheses. So when the onlyness of being is not understood, we always have opposites, we always have dualism, we always have, instead of the singleness of spirit, the mingling of spirit. That's another opposite. If we have spirit as substance, and that's the only substance, and we misunderstand that, then we have a material concept. So you come to the matter concept, matter-substance concept, to materialism. So materialism isn't something per se. It isn't a world concept, a world view, or a world, how you could call it, a world view. It is not something by itself. It is when spirit or spiritualism is not seen, then we have materialism. Then we put our accent and our weight on something else than spirit. And this is called materialism. Another opposite, naturally, of the substance of spirit is flesh. So, also flesh. We only have flesh as long as we don't understand really the whole nature of spirit. That's why Jesus at the ascension could rid himself of a fleshly body, of a corporeal body, and could show that actually at the point of complete transparency of spirit, he could free himself from a body. If we don't see the onlyness of spirit, then we have many spirit, that is many spirits. And therefore, spiritualism, material spiritualism, and spiritism is nothing else than not to understand God as spirit. So spiritualism isn't a realm by itself, it isn't a trick by itself, it isn't a phenomena by itself that can stand alone next to spirit. The moment we understand more about spirit, then spiritualism should lose its hold on us. Well, perhaps we see something of that next week here. And as a theory of God, naturally we have polytheism. Poly is many, whereas spirit is the only. So the counterfeit of the only, if we misunderstand the only, we have the many, that is the polytheism. Yes. So again, at the end, we have such a theory. Yes.